This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 23 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. So for this episode, I am going to give a tiny bit of an intro because it's just not going the way I wanted it to, and not in a bad way. It's just not the way I planned. For those of you that know me, I am a planner and I like to arrange things to happen a certain way. I have all of these ideas, these plans that I want them to go in a certain order. And God looks at that and he says, okay, I'm going to bless your work in that, but I'm going to tweak it. I'm going to make it better. I want it to be your way. So my life verse of this year, with the way all of this is kind of turned out with this podcast, is Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And God's been really telling me, hey, you really are taking way too much control of this. This is my thing, and I'm using you through that. And it's been humbling, but it's also been really cool, and it's been freeing to know that, you know, part of the problem here is that I'm writing an episode about talents. I'm writing all of the things that God is showing me about talents that I really want to share with you guys. I want to share, yes, God made us all to have talents, whether you believe that or not. Yes, there are different talents. And the biggest, scariest one that I realized as I was researching this is that, yes, there are repercussions if you don't use them. And so there are lots of really important things that God is teaching me that he wants me to share with you. But as I'm writing it down, because I, again, am a planner, I don't typically go by the fly. I'm doing that right now, which is really scary for me. But I typically write out each episode and then read it to record, because I need to have everything planned out. So where I'm at, it hasn't felt right. I don't know if it's writer's block or if it's God just saying, wait, you need to wait to write this because there's something else I want to teach you or what. But I got this interview recorded with Jen. I'm super excited. She said a lot of the things that I'm wanting to say, they're encouraging, they're helpful. She has so many things to offer to help you figure out your talents. And I thought that that would actually be a good order for you is, then I can refer back to this after I'm talking about talents and be like, hey, you can look back at this episode and see how maybe God can help you figure out where you stand and what you can do. So God is great. He is working on me and he is providing all of these things for you to listen to and these resources. And I'm really excited that he uses me to provide those. So for your listening enjoyment, you will hear this interview with Jen telling us about talents and her skills to help you find yours and how she got there. Then we'll talk about talents and what God has specifically taught me about them. And then we're going to go a little bit into some other interviews that I've hinted at, talking about creativity, how God created us to be creative. And I've talked to 4 different people in different creative realms, how they see God in their specific area. And just to encourage you to see God in a different way as well. So I'm really excited about the start of this series. I hope you enjoy what God is teaching me as much as I did. So I am here today with my friend Jen, who does core clarity. And she works with people, helping them find their strengths and kind of helps them build onto that. And she is way better at explaining that than me. So I'm going to let her do that herself.
Yes. Yeah, so as Jenna said, basically I am a core clarity facilitator and I'm certified in that. And I'm also a certified Enneagram coach. You may not have heard of core clarity and that's normal, but what you may have heard of or may not is something called Strengths Finder. And that is an assessment that takes about 20 minutes. And then it tells you your top 5 talents or strengths. that basically those are the ones that come to you very naturally. It's like you don't have to work at them. Kind of like they're maybe not quite as easy as breathing, but they kind of come to you maybe as easy as breathing as opposed to somebody else that might not have that talent. To kind of explain that, my top talent is called empathy. And for people who don't have empathy, it's very hard for them to learn how to be empathetic. It is something you can work on, but empathy is not their necessarily their go-to when they're in a situation. But for me, it's like I can't not be empathetic when somebody is going through a hard time or needs a shoulder to cry on or needs a friend to talk to. It's really hard for me not to enter into that situation with them and feel whatever feelings they have and whatever emotions they're expressing. So it's much easier for me because it's one of my talents as opposed to like my husband, who that's not one of his top talents, but he has five other ones that might come more difficult to me. So if somebody takes a StrengthsFinder assessment, then I go through and I put it into my kind of my core clarity framework. And then from there, I will help coach them on what those talents are, what they look like in their life, how they play out. And then we can dive deeper into how they can use those talents in their career or in being a mom or in being a wife or a sister or a friend or in ministry, if they're in ministry. So kind of using those things to help people in whatever capacity they kind of want to grow in, and just see themselves as remarkable because each one of us is remarkable. And it's really fun to see the light bulb turn on when people realize, oh, this I do see this in my life, or, oh, that's a positive thing and not a negative thing. And, yeah, just some ways that are fun for people to realize things about themselves.
So how did you even get into this?
Yes. Yeah, so that the answer to that question is a little layered. So stick with me. So back in 2008, I took the StrengthsFinder assessment for the first time, but I didn't go through Core Clarity at that time. So to be honest, I didn't really understand my results. Nobody really explained much about them to me. And so I kind of just pushed them aside because I was like, okay, I have this, but I don't know how to use it. Then about a year and a half ago, my husband and I began marriage counseling to help us appreciate our differences better and communicate better in a way that we both understand. We are very different and sometimes it feels like we speak a different language. So we wanted to go to marriage counseling just kind of to help us be able to understand each other. I am very type B, laid back, relationally oriented, and someone who rests well, which is usually not something that people would say is a good thing, but I've learned that it is good. And he, on the other hand, is very type A. He's a go-getter. He's task-oriented, and he doesn't usually stop until he burns out. So yeah, going through counseling helped us so much. I started discovering not only more about our marriage, but more about myself through counseling. And, those StrengthsFinder results kind of kept coming back in my mind. By this point I had received my Core Clarity results, but I didn't really focus on them because I didn't realize what a gem of an assessment this was. But then Stuart and I both started discussing our talents and strengths, and we realized that, oh my gosh, these really help us to understand each other. I can see the things in his life that never made sense to me. Like his top talent is called restorative. So he is very good at looking at a situation and seeing how it needs to be fixed, how it can be made better. But whereas for me, if I go into a situation where somebody needs to talk about something, I am very empathetic. Like I said, I can sit in it with them. His first response is to come in and figure out how to fix it. And so some of that, he has put on me, which isn't a bad thing. but he will come into a situation and, you know, if I'm having a hard time with something, he'll go right to, okay, how can we fix this? Which might not always be the first thing that I want to talk about, kind of as a girl. I just want to, you know, verbally process, tell him how I feel, vent maybe. And then maybe like tomorrow we can talk about how to fix it. but I have come to know that that is a very good quality. But we just had to understand, like, okay, can you sit in it with me? And then let's talk about how to fix it, or, you know, that kind of thing. We just had to work on our personalities together to understand each other better. Then rewind about 5 years, Stuart, my husband and I moved to Xenia, Ohio to work for the ministry Athletes in Action. I was a high school athlete, but I'm definitely nowhere near the sports nut that he is. So we chose this ministry mostly out of his love for sports and both of our love of ministry, and the ministry of crew in general. We had about a 6 week old baby at the time. So it took me a little bit longer to kind of enter into ministry. However, the problem was over the past 5 years, I never really found my true niche. I tried about 5 different roles within the ministry, but never really felt completely settled in any of them. And around this time, the Enneagram kind of became a huge cultural trend. So I hopped on that bandwagon, and like most people who hop on the bandwagon, immediately became a little obsessed with it. but again, especially in our marriage, I am a 9 or the peacemaker, and Stuart is a 6 or the loyalist. And I could not believe how well the descriptions described us and how much knowing these things about each other helped us to understand each other. I was verbally processing this with my friend Natasha, and she said, "Why don't you become an Enneagram coach?" And so I was like, that sounds really cool. So I decided to get certified as an Enneagram coach back in May or June. I forget which one. And then in September, I became a Core Clarity facilitator. So I kind of just took this huge leap because I didn't really feel settled in, you know, my different roles in the ministry, but I still felt like this would be a really awesome opportunity to help people grow, help them find their talents and figure out how they can use them so that they are living a better life. You know, some people are in jobs and roles that are so just not what they're good at. That is horrible English, but, you know, they don't feel comfortable in what they're doing. They have to work really hard. It's very exhausting. And when they can figure out, oh my gosh, I would be so much better suited for this role, and it's something that they're passionate about, it comes easily to them, they just really love what they're doing, it like it makes their life so much better. And I just love to see those light bulbs come on and see people realize just how wonderful they are, when sometimes it's really easy to see only the negative aspects of ourselves.
So types of clients, do you tend to work more with married couples or younger people trying to find where they're going, or?
You know what? It's really anybody. I mean, I'm a 33-year-old mom of 2. So originally I kind of thought my target market would be, you know, 20-something, 30-somethings moms, but I am currently coaching a couple that's in our small group, and they are both in their 40s. I think he actually just turned 50. So I'm coaching them in their marriage, just to help them understand each other, just kind of like Stuart and me. But then I'm coaching a girl who is 29 and single, just really anybody who is at a place in their life when they want to understand themselves better and they want to kind of grow in their personal development. And I could possibly have an opportunity to use Core Clarity with high schoolers in the future. So I think this would be an awesome thing for high schoolers because, you know, junior, senior year, you're trying to figure out as an 18-year-old what you want to do for the rest of your life. And it's the most difficult decision ever. And if you could see on paper, okay, I'm really talented in these 5 things, let me try to take steps in my future that will utilize these things. I just think it'd be awesome. So yeah, any age of people that want to go through this, I'm more than happy to coach.
You kind of talked about this at the beginning, but what is the typical process?
Yes. So since it's personal development and it can be pretty personal, obviously, I like to get to know a new client, especially if I haven't met them before. So my first step is to set up a discovery call where I would get to know them, find out what their main goals are for our time, kind of what areas they want to be coached in, whether they want to be coached in core clarity or the Enneagram or a combination of both of those things. Obviously, whether it's just them or them and a spouse or them and a sibling or a parent child kind of thing. There's a lot of different relationships that you can do this coaching with. And I just want to, I just want to get to know them and hear their heart, and, you know, they can go as deep as they want to, and be as vulnerable as they want to, or, you know, we can kind of just do it at their pace. And then from there, obviously they would want to take the StrengthsFinder assessment, which I think I said at the beginning is about 20 minutes. And then if they want to do Enneagram coaching, then take an Enneagram assessment as well. And then from there, I'll craft our time together depending on what their goals are, what their hopes are for our time. And I mean, coaching can be anywhere from 2 to 4 sessions to 8 to 10 sessions or more than that, you know, depending on what their wants are.
Do you have any specific examples of how you've helped someone invest or develop their talents?
Well, I think first it depends on what area they're struggling with or they want to improve. But I think for a specific example was with one of my best friends. Her name's Tammy. And we've been best friends since, well, we met each other in first grade. So we've basically been best friends our whole life. So when she said that she wanted to go through this with me, I was super excited. She's very similar to me. Probably one of the reasons that we're such good friends. She has 2 young children, just like me, and she teaches 3rd grade. So when we went through her talents, first of all, it was just fun to get to know her better, because you think after you know someone, you know, since first grade, you would know everything about them. But, you know, to see her talents written down on paper, it was just a really fun thing to walk through with her. But one of my favorite moments was this light bulb moment for her. One of her talents is called adaptability. And basically the talent of adaptability is being naturally flexible. Someone who can go with the flow, they expect the unexpected, and they're good at making choices on the fly. So when we read through this description of adaptability together, she was like, oh my gosh, I never saw this talent. Or I never saw this as a talent or a strength. I always thought that my flexibility was more like a lack of being structured or disciplined. I always saw it as a negative thing, and now seeing it as a positive thing, it's super encouraging. You know, especially as a teacher in elementary school, you kind of have to expect the unexpected. You never know what these kids are going to do from day to day. You kind of have to be okay with chaos and crisis and kids peeing their pants, you know, and whatever. Yeah. So I was like, this totally makes sense for you as a teacher. And, you know, I am definitely not structured or disciplined. So I am much more, you know, adaptability isn't in my top 5, but I'm much more that direction than structured. So it was just fun to see that light bulb come on for her, and for her to take something that she thought was negative and a bad characteristic and flip it on its side and see it as a positive thing and something that is good about her. So that was, that was really fun.
Awesome. Actually, I had written down, how do you help people change their view from a negative to a positive strength? But you just answered that.
There you go.
Have you seen a lot of that?
Yes. Yes, I have. It's really fun to see people who, especially situations like that, where, you know, being a type A person in our culture is just, I feel like it's seen as better than type B. You know, the people who can get stuff done, they're the ones climbing up the career ladders. They're the CEOs and whatnot. So for people like me who are type B and more laid back, you know, it's fun to discover why our strengths and our talents, while they're so different from other people, why they're still good and why they're still necessary and how they can help those around us be more adaptable, be more flexible, or be more empathetic, or see why relationships are so much more important than tasks. I mean, tasks are necessary and tasks need to be done. But, you know, at the end of the day, my husband tells me that he's so glad that, you know, he spent time with our kids instead of doing the dishes in the moment, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just fun to see people see the experience that flip from negative to positive.
Yeah, my achiever and responsibility makes it really hard for me to choose that over tasks. It's really hard. As a mom, oh my word.
Oh, I can imagine.
Actually, it's been really helpful for me to realize, like, why do I feel a drive toward this? And it helps me calm down a little bit and be like, it's because I really want to make sure things are done well and done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that is definitely, that's probably
not a bad thing. You know, like, you are responsible and you probably get so much more done in a day than I do.
Sometimes.
I guess as a mom, that's depends on the kids and the day.
So have you noticed that, not in a comparison way, but like seeing how other people have different talents, does it help you see the value in your own more?
Yes. That's a great question. One of the other main aspects of our counseling came from just me feeling really down about my personality and who I am. Like I said, my husband's very type A, and a lot of my friends in like my community, my other friends in Athletes in Action, they're very type A, very similar to my husband, very go-getter, very task-oriented. And I remember one of my friends telling me, like, oh my gosh, I did nothing today. And then she listed off, like, I mowed the lawn and I did the laundry and I did, like, five other things. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's nothing. Like,
that's a great day.
Yeah, that would be like me feeling on fire for like getting all the things done and feeling really productive. So it was just really hard for me to see them, especially the friends that are moms, and being like, okay, how are you getting all this stuff done in a day when you have kids? And there's sometimes when I don't get out of my pajamas all day and I feel good that I kept my kids fed and alive, you know? And my husband is so different. And so it was very hard for him even to understand my lack of motivation or my lack of a drive, like a natural drive, like what he has. So counseling really helped both of us to understand me as a person and the good things that I bring to the table, like encouraging him to rest, encouraging him to spend time with the kids, you know, all those kind of things, encouraging him to get together with some guys and just, you know, have those relationships. But it took a while for me to understand that I bring good to the table, because all I was seeing was the comparison of what everybody else could do compared to what I could do. And it took some friends kind of speaking into my life. And my mentor is a woman named April, and she is I think like 56 and so very similar to me. She's a 9 as well. Her top talent is empathy. And so seeing her and how she lives out her life and that she is beloved and respected by everyone she meets, and she's like just this amazing woman, I was like, okay, you know what? If I am anywhere near close to being like April, then I think that I can use these talents and I can use these strengths, and they're not a bad thing, you know? And so I think it really helped to see somebody else that was similar to me and her telling me, okay, this is the way that you can use your talents and your strengths and you bring these good things to your table. And yeah, so I can see why the people who have those go-getter talents, that's really awesome. And I can also see, okay, but I rest well and I probably spend you know, time in front of the TV with my kids more than maybe somebody else who wants to get the dishes done and the house cleaned. And that's okay. Both ways are okay. Nothing's wrong. It's just different. And we bring different things to the table.
So what tips do you have with dealing with maybe jealousy or just sad that you don't have a talent that you see in someone else that you really admire?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say focus on what you're good at, first of all. Like if you don't know what you're good at, or if you haven't done the Enneagram assessment, which there's free ones out there, it's really great. I really like the one on yourenneagramcoach.com. I think that one is, it's really simple and straightforward and it's free. And then, you know, if somebody has the capacity to be coached through Core Clarity and take the StrengthsFinder assessment, I mean, that's obviously, I totally believe in it. And I think that's a great way to understand yourself. And if you're having a hard time with comparison, then I think there's no better way to get over it than to view your talents and your strengths in a positive light and kind of focus on, okay, you know what? I don't have those aspects, but what do I have and how can I use these to better myself and better those around me and, you know, hopefully point people to the Lord, obviously. And then obviously spend time in prayer and just be honest with God and be like, okay, God, you know, I don't really like myself right now. And I had very frank conversations with God about that kind of thing. Just being like, God, why did you not give me Activator, or why did you not give me Responsibility, or, you know, those things. And it was really freeing just to be honest with the Lord. And then I could focus on, okay, you know what? I don't have those things, but I have communication. I can speak well. I write well. I really enjoy those things. I have empathy. I have positivity. You know, I know how to encourage those kind of things. So I think it's something you just have to come to accept in yourself and then start seeing ways that you bring good to others and good to your life.
That's great. That's a really good tip. I need to do that.
Which is funny because you probably have the talents that I have been jealous of before. So hearing you say that, I'm like, how, why would you ever think that? But grass is always greener on the other side, right?
Yeah. So you're talking about how the grass is greener on the other side, but it's also super nice and freeing to know that while I don't have these talents, someone else does. And so I don't have all of the pressure to carry every single strength.
Yes, absolutely.
So kind of going with that, I've been working on what will be our next episode, writing up kind of the importance of using our talents. And so many people think they don't have any. So this is a trick question, but have you ever met anyone that does not have any strengths or talents?
No. The funny thing is kind of how Core Clarity came to be. It was designed and created and founded by a woman named Candace Fitzpatrick. And it was first used in a high school, I believe, or maybe it was a middle school. And there was a boy there that I think was just very different. He may have been on the spectrum. I don't remember the details of the story, but he didn't have a ton of friends. He didn't think he was good at anything. And he took the StrengthsFinder assessment and he just kept looking at the computer screen after his assessments came through. And he was like, I can't believe it's not blank. You know, I have talents. I have strengths. I have things that I'm good at. And he totally expected it to come up blank. And it's just such a fun story to hear that. Obviously, I forget some of the details, but the founder, Candace, is just so passionate about people understanding themselves and using that understanding to better themselves and those around them. And yeah, it's so fun to see. Sometimes your top five are very unexpected, or you may think, I would have expected something else to be in my top five. But there are always five, and there's actually 34 talent themes or talents, and you have all 34. So everybody has all 34. But every person, obviously, they're listed in a different order. And so your top five might be some, like there might be something in there you didn't expect, but maybe something you thought would be in there is number six or number seven, and it's in one of the other, you know, higher talents, but just not the forefront of your talents.
So do you have any specific examples of people maybe being surprised or maybe knowing, but not knowing what to do with those talents? And then you gave them guidance.
That's a good question. Probably the easiest one is the story I said about my husband. I'm having a hard time thinking of something else in this moment. But yeah, just helping him to understand his restorative talent and how he can use that well. But maybe not in the moment that it comes most natural to him, like right away when I just need somebody to empathize with me. But you know, if he waits a little bit, then when I need somebody to help me figure out, okay, what are the next steps or how can I fix this situation? Then that's where he comes in and really shines. But I'm trying to think about, yeah, somebody else. I think even though I talked about her earlier, my friend Tammy, one of her other talents is a ranger. And when you think about a ranger, you know, my thought goes to somebody who does interior design or something like that. But again, she's a third grade teacher. And so when you think about being an elementary teacher, you know, one of the first things you think of is bulletin boards and, you know, putting the letters up on your walls and all those kind of things, planning things out, thinking through your entire day. And it was, another light bulb moment for her to see that that's not just like part of being a teacher, that that's actually something that she has. And she has that specifically in her personality, and that makes her a better teacher. So I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but
yeah,
that's where my brain's going right now.
Yeah. Have you seen anyone specifically like grow in something more when they've seen it?
One of my other friends, Becky, is one of her top talents is called developer. And developer is kind of being a natural mentor. You champion other people, you help them grow. You can help them, you know, get progress in situations, very generous with feedback. But sometimes when you have developer in your top five, it can be hard to be around people who are unwilling to learn or grow. And, you know, it's a lot easier sometimes to see things from the outside looking in. And so, you know, when working with somebody who's struggling with something or trying to figure something out, if you kind of have the answer, you think you have the answer, you know, you just kind of want to shake them and be like, are you kidding me? Why do you not see this? You know, you just have to do this and then it'll be fixed or whatever. You know, and it was fun to see her realize like this is a good thing, but it's also something that I have to let people, you know, figure things out on their own. I can't expect everyone to figure things out on my timetable. And so that I think learning how to move away from that kind of cautionary statement of what a developer can look like helped her to grow as a developer, because she realized, okay, if I'm going to be a developer, part of that is letting people grow on their own or figure things out on their own and then being there to champion them as they process it in their own time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a really cool example. Like getting to know yourself better, and then it helps you just interact better.
Yeah.
Building those relationships and not burning bridges because you're too excited about having an answer. That's
yes.
Something I have a problem with. I don't have that. I don't have that in my top five, but that is definitely.
Might be in 6 to 10. You never know.
Yeah. So this was not in my list of questions that I gave you, but I feel like it's kind of important. How has this helped you in your relationship with Christ?
It has helped so much. I mean, like I said, before I kind of went through this process, I was, you know, just angry with God. I didn't understand why he made me the way he made me. But understanding my top five, my Enneagram, I learned to see myself a little bit like through his eyes. And I learned, I mean, we all know that, well, we might not all know, but you know, God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't forget to give us a talent or a personality trait. It's not like, you know, he's looking down and being like, oops, sorry, Jen, I forgot to give you the talent of responsibility. So good luck. You know, he made me this way on purpose. And so I think learning those purposes, and those reasons behind why he gave me certain characteristics helped me to love him more, because, you know, all of our best talents, all of our best characteristics all stem from who God is. You know, he is the ultimate empathizer. He is the ultimate communicator. He keeps us positive. You know, he, one of my top talents is belief, and, you know, it's belief in that there's a purpose and all those things. And obviously, you know, God is the foundation of that. But it's just, yeah, it was really cool to understand my talents and see them in the Lord and see how he gave those talents to me on purpose. And yeah, just to grow in confidence, because my identity shouldn't be in other people or what they see in me or they don't see in me or what I don't see in myself, but it needs to be in the Lord and the identity that he gave me as his daughter. And it really made me love him more, because I just saw myself as someone who rests well. And, you know, the story of Mary and Martha, and Jesus, you know, Martha was off trying to cook dinner and do all the things, and she didn't understand why Jesus wasn't telling Mary to help her. They were sisters. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, just listening to him. And Jesus told Martha, basically, you know, Mary chose the more important thing. I'm not going to take that away from her. And I think, like I said, that our culture is all about the people who do all the things and how much can you get done in a day? How productive were you? You know, and we forget that Jesus tells us that Mary chose what's more important, and what's more important is spending time with the Lord at his feet. And that takes time of rest and sitting down and tuning out the world and reading his word. And so, yeah, I think it helped me to kind of see Mary in myself and also want to grow in those areas too. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not the perfect Mary, but yeah, just to see those things.
I love that. I think actually that's like the perfect way to end. So you had chosen the passage from Romans 12. Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of just answered it, but do it again. Why did you pick that passage?
Yes. Well, I love this passage. It's about how we're part of one body, but we all, just like our body, there's different members of the body. And, you know, some of us might be a hand, and some of us might be a foot, and some of us might be a mouth. You know, if we are very good with hospitality and we feed people, while others are good at, you know, being the hands and feet of Christ and giving to the needy and whatnot, we all have different purposes. And just like different parts of our body have different purposes, but our body, you know, it can't work well without all the parts of our body. I guess except for our appendix, we don't really need that, but
that is still to be determined.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, if we can all use the gifts and talents that God has given us and work together as one body, then, you know, that's exactly what the church looks like. It's different types of people coming together to do the Great Commission and live out the purposes that God gave us.
So it is Romans 12:4-8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
This has been episode 23 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Core Clarity, an interview with Jen Grand-Lenard. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/23. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.